Lord, replace my confusion with praise. I have been trying to frame petitions which I thought might be on the hearts and minds of first generation believers, followers of Jesus Christ in the days immediately following the resurrection. A time when they struggled with issues of belief and faith and trust. A time when they faced immense challenges and virtually instantaneous change in the whole direction of things around them spiritually. And now they have to sort it out. And by the grace of God, they have to find a way through what lies ahead of them. And on top of it all is the challenging commission that our Savior gave to his followers. That they, this handful of people, unschooled, unlearned in the ways of the world, are to be the means by which the testimony of what they have seen and heard is taken to the ends of the earth. Surely there was confusion. What do we do next? What ought we to do? What ought to be our plan? Can we even dare tackle this? Now let me ask you, is confusion ever part of your world? Even just on a practical basis, are there not times when you look at options and you say, what do I do? And you try and sort it out. Well, in the case of the first generation of disciples, the emphasis fell on the spiritual side of things, but you know, when it comes to confusion, spiritual and practical things are never far apart from each other, because spiritual decisions also involve practical action. And so they had that struggle. What would they do in the midst of their uncertainty? Now, the New Testament account doesn't totally answer this question for us, because what we are provided with in the New Testament is the account of how this handful of people, blessed with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, are launched into the world. But it kind of tells us what happened, not quite how they got to what happened. Although as we read the text, we see little indications of the sorts of decisions and struggles that they had to face together. I've likened it to our place in the kingdom in this generation. You know, we who are a small group here in a little corner of the world, because we too share the Great Commission, and we too have to work through how it is that we are to make this real in our time and place. And we can imagine them saying, well, if this is so, and did you notice in Matthew 28 that when Jesus met with the disciples, there was still the indication that some were hesitant to believe because they were struggling. So in the midst of that faith struggle about the things of the resurrection, they had practical, spiritual decisions to make that came out of a whole confused set of circumstances. These weren't people who'd signed on to be leaders in anything. They were followers of Jesus Christ. And they were struggling to come to terms with the reality of his ministry and how it concluded and what God intended for them to do now that these things had happened. And there were many options, surely. And they were left with confusion. And, you know, then the practical question comes to us, well, what do we do when we get confused? Well, we don't always handle it so well, do we? Sometimes we just get pulled into the confusion and it whirls around in our minds like a little vortex and we can't quite get past it. And yet, the practicality is that in life, when we are confused, we need to sort things out. We need to go back to the roots, the things that we know to be true and stable, assured, verified through life experience. And then we have to plot out where it is we want to get and start fitting the pieces together. And this is a spiritual exercise because we do this as people who desire the leading of God in our lives. People who desire to be faithful to the Lord and what that calling means. And so it's not just a matter of finding a convenient, practical solution. It's a matter of finding a true and godly solution to the options that face us. Because every instance of confusion or uncertainty in our lives has a spiritual side to it. It's never just the practical details. Involved in every issue of life, there are spiritual concerns, spiritual anchors that hold us or ought to hold us, and spiritual objectives that guide us or ought to guide us. Let me take you back to the passage that Ted read from Isaiah chapter 12, where Isaiah struggles, though he doesn't describe his situation as one of confusion. He has come through a transition and says to the Lord, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Now that may not be confusion, it may be mostly relief, but he has just come through a time of uncertainty. And how does he focus himself? Isaiah declares, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. And then Isaiah offers counsel that may seem strange in a way. Isaiah says, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy. You know, that when you're confused, turn back to what you know to be true. And then praise God. It seems ironic that we should praise God in the midst of confusion. But we do so because we've learned that the Lord is there with us and for us. And though we don't quite yet see where it's all going with any clarity, we are confident in his care and in his guidance and in his love. And so therefore we may begin to praise him even before we see how he's going to lead us through. And so there is this sense, you know, in which we anticipate God's support in life's confusions, and we respond with praise. Now, I suspect that we would all love to avoid times of confusion in our lives. It's not something we anticipate with great joy. But at the same time, let us remember always that this confusion does have a value. When we are faced in circumstances in life where we are confused as to the best course that we should follow, you see, it forces us to consider what we are doing and why. Keeping our bearings in the midst of confusion means holding on to that which we know to be certain and established and confirmed in our lives. And then, when we think of those things, can we not respond with praise? So, yes, despite the fact that we might like to avoid seasons of confusion, and I'm sure that that first generation of believers found themselves nearly overwhelmed with the options that were before them. Nevertheless, the testimony of the scriptures is that God brought them through. God brought them through not just so that they survived, but so that they, in fact, spiritually prospered from those times. And God brought them through with such strength that out of their confusion came the very consequences that the Lord desired. And his people were established in faith together, and the church was planted, and the proclamation of the kingdom began. Frail though they may have thought that they were in all of this, by the grace of God, by his strength, by the working of his Spirit, the things of the Lord were accomplished. And when God's purposes are accomplished, then our response surely is one of praise. So, the next time you feel confused about something, whatever it may be, remember, there's a spiritual dimension to what's going on in your world. Remember the Lord's presence. Remember his love. Remember his care. Trust him. Ask him to lead you. Point you. Step by step. Through it all. For the glory of his name. This is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.